You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, the U.S. Census released new data that shows household incomes in the country are rising. We'll talk about what that means for Wisconsin and for the economy. First, depending on when you were born, you may remember watching movies like Matilda or Mrs. Doubtfire with your kids, or you may remember watching it as a kid yourself. Well, Mara Wilson was the little girl with starring roles in both of those movies.
Where'd all this come from?
A library.
The library? You've never set foot in a library. You're only 4 years old.
Six and a half.
You're four.
Six and a half.
If you were six and a half, you'd be in school already.
I want to be in school. I told you I was supposed to start school in September. You wouldn't listen.
Get up. Get up. Get out here. Give me that book. Here is pie. How old is Matilda?
Four. I'm six and a half, Mommy.
Five, then.
It was six in August.
You're a liar.
I want to go to school.
School? It's out of the question. Who would be here to sign for the packages? We can't leave valuable packages sitting out on the doorstep. Now go watch TV like a good kid.
Now an adult, the former child actress wrote a memoir about going from fame to what she calls relative but happy obscurity. Her book, Where Am I Now? True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame, is out now and looks back at the unique experience of being a child star and also details the more common one of just being a kid and coming of age. Mara Wilson joins us now to tell us about her new book. Mara, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, when you look back on your childhood, how out of the ordinary do you think it was compared to other kids?
I think that it was very unusual, but I think it took me a long time to realize just how unusual it was. My parents tried very hard to keep me grounded and to keep me living the same, you know, lower middle class existence that I lived for the rest of my life. You know, I had a shared room with my little sister. I still went to public school for most of my life. I went to Girl Scouts. I did things like that. And it was very important to them that I keep it that way. And so I think it really took me a while to realize that, you know, I knew that people were recognizing me all the time. But also, I went to school with a bunch of child actors. And they were all, you know, there were people on Seventh Heaven. There were people doing commercials. A lot of my best friends were child actors. My first boyfriend was a child actor. So it was kind of part of the culture of L.A. where I grew up in the Valley. It was just kind of something that we did the same way that, you know, kids in Texas play, I don't know, play football or something like that. You know, kids in Canada play hockey. It was just part of the thing that we did. So I think it wasn't until I got much older that I realized that I had an impact and a positive impact at that.
And one thing that did seem pretty out of the ordinary was the way you're very open about your fears and your anxieties and your neuroses. And you spend a chunk of time, especially in the beginning, talking about how when you were a kid, well, actually, probably till you were in your preteens, early teens, you were preoccupied with death, which seems really at odds with this optimistic, spunky little girl that we know you for from your early roles. What was that like?
Yeah, I was a pretty dark kid. I mean, I was very extroverted, and I was very, you know, and my family says that I was a very, you know, sweet and well-behaved kid, but I was just obsessed with death, and I had all these really dark moments, even though, you know, I was living a pretty happy life. So I don't know where that comes from. I just think that that's, you know, kind of who I was. Eventually, you know, my mother got sick and died, and that was very hard for me, and that definitely exacerbated things. But I think that it was just kind of the way that I was. I think that a lot of children are very dark. A lot of children go through a dark phase, and, you know, it's whether, depending on their life, you know, if they live a good, happy life, or if they have something, you know, sad happen to them, that can definitely affect their outlook.
It sounds like your mom was a really grounding force while you were being a child actor. And you tell this great story in the book about how you learned pretty young what sex was, and you could not contain it. You had this knowledge bomb, and it was going to go off, and it did. Can you tell us that story?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. When I was a kid, I would lay awake at night. Yeah, when I was a kid, I would lie awake at night thinking, did anybody remember that? Does anybody remember that? So my mother taught me about sex a little bit by showing me like a special, I think, on PBS or something, and then explaining to me, you know, what these kids were doing. And so then I went the next day to the set, and I knew that there was like, it was this big secret, but I started asking people, like I asked one of the hair and makeup women if she knew about sex and if she'd done it. And it was, I just started singing, I know about sex, I know about sex. And I looked over at my mother, and my mother was furious with me, just so mad at me. But fortunately, Robin Williams and Chris Columbus came over, and they were just laughing about it because, you know, they knew that I was a kid, and they knew that kids made these kinds of mistakes. So it was just, it was, you know, just kind of acceptable for them. And I think because of them, I avoided getting in major trouble.
I want to talk about what it was like being thinking about how you looked when you were that age, because at a certain point you talk about you go to Japan and you discover people there think you're really cute and that makes you feel good. But later on, that emphasis on looks sort of turns on you. You're not cute enough for Hollywood anymore. So how did that impact the way you saw yourself and your self-esteem?
It definitely affected me. I mean, when I was very young, I think it was just sort of like, I didn't really like being told I was cute all the time because it felt a little bit like, you know, when your mom's friends get together and they say, oh, I remember when you were this big, you know, it makes you feel that big or that small again, you know, it makes you feel childish. And so I didn't like that. But then when I went through puberty, I lost a superpower I didn't even know I had. You know, I thought that And it definitely stuck with me for a very long time because I knew that I wasn't attractive enough for Hollywood. So I think there was a part of me that thought that I just wasn't attractive, period. There was nothing attractive about me at all, that I was hideous. But I think that, you know, I've come to accept that, you know, I have my assets and flaws like everybody else. And, you know, just because you're not attractive enough for Hollywood doesn't mean that there's, like, anything wrong with you. And it really made me realize how much emphasis we put on looks and how ridiculous it is that we put emphasis on looks in everyday life.
I'm thinking about child actors, the actors who played Punky Brewster or Macaulay Culkin or Anthony Michael Hall. And it seems like in some cases, it can be hard to emerge as an intact adult after you've been a big child star. Do you know how you did it?
I think that really what helped me was that I had other interests. I had other things I wanted to do. I had other pursuits, you know. I studied improv comedy, and I was in choir, and I did drama. So stage acting and performing was something that I really loved, too. And I also always knew that I loved writing. I wanted to be a writer from when I was really little. And so writing was something that definitely kept me going. I think that I had a family that loved me and supported me no matter what. And, you know, I always felt like I had their support and their care and their love. I mean, therapy also didn't hurt. I think that, you know, it was a combination of things. But I think that also my parents never pushed me into acting. So when I said, and they weren't living off my money, so when I said that I didn't want to act anymore, or, you know, actually it was my father who said, you know, maybe take some time off right now, I was okay with it. And they were okay with it as well.
We're talking with Mara Wilson right now, writer, playwright, actor, and storyteller, and probably best known for her roles in Mrs. Doubtfire, Matilda, Miracle on 34th Street. Her new book is called Where Am I Now? True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame. And you write in several places in your book about Robin Williams. And, of course, he was on set with you in Mrs. Doubtfire. You knew him when you were pretty young, and then a little bit later on in What Dreams May Come. What was he like to you? What was your relationship?
Oh, he was just the kindest, gentlest guy. He was so fatherly. And, you know, he has a lot of, you know, inappropriate material when he does stand-up. But with kids, he is never inappropriate at all. He's always telling jokes that he knew we thought would be funny. He listened to us, and that was really nice. He talked to us like we were people. He respected us like we were people. And so he was a lot of fun, although my mother always said that he was very quiet when he was talking with adults. She pointed out that he was very quiet with adults, but he definitely came alive when he was with kids and definitely came alive when he had an audience.
I noticed you started out talking about him in the present tense, and then you switched to past tense. Is he someone who still seems present in your life?
Well, I just think that he was such, I never imagined that we would lose him. He does seem like he is just such this large presence and somebody. I think when you affect somebody at a young age in a positive way, you're going to stick with them for the rest of their life. And I think that that's definitely what it was for me. He was, he was kind of like a favorite teacher. And so to me, there is this thing that lives on, there is this part of him that definitely lives on.
And he was an actor, a comedian, and storyteller. He created these stories on the spot. And I notice, you're doing storytelling now, too. This is something you've really always wanted to do.
Yeah, for sure.
How did you make that bridge from child actor to storyteller?
Well, I always wanted to tell stories. That was what I hoped that, people could do, because I just loved standing up and performing stories that I made up and, stories about my life from when I was a kid. And I did well whenever I had to write about my own life. And I did well in that. I did well with that in college. And so I started focusing on that in college. I took an autobiography writing class, and it was something that people were suddenly interested in hearing about, especially considering since I'd had an interesting life. So I think my sophomore year of college, I did a piece about my relationship with my father, and it really seemed to resonate with so many people, which was surprising to me because I thought the details were very specific to my relationship, but it turns out the more personal you get with storytelling, the more universal it is. So I started focusing on that, and then my senior year, I did a show called Weren't You That Girl? That was all about my child acting, and that went over extremely well. And I started looking into it, and what I learned was that there was this big storytelling scene in New York City. I mean, you've heard of The Moth, but there was also shows like Risk and Bear and all kinds of things where people were just telling stories on stage. And the stories, had to be fully formed. They couldn't just be anecdotes. They had to be interesting. And they were. And I started going to these shows, and I started performing at them, and I kind of learned by doing, although there are definitely storytelling classes you can take. And so I learned by doing, and that is really how I started getting some of the stories for this book as well.
Mara, you're very upfront about your anxiety, like we were talking about earlier. And as we wrap up, what advice do you have for someone who wants to uncover, as you would say, their inner badass and get out there and tell their stories?
I think you have to be, it's okay to make mistakes, and tell yourself that it's okay to make mistakes. I think that is the most important thing to remember. And I wish that I had taken that to heart when I was a child.
Mara, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Mara Wilson. She's best known for her roles as the little girl from Mrs. Doubtfire, Matilda, and Miracle on 34th Street. Her most recent book is called Where Am I Now? True Stories of Girlhood and Accidental Fame. Coming up after the news, we'll talk about rising household incomes in the United States and how some Wisconsin municipalities are still lagging behind the nation. I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.